This is Level Break.
Level Break.
I'm your host, Todd Harris. It's June 12th, and welcome to Episode 7. So what did you think of E3 this year? I'm asking myself that right now, still, even after putting together some notes for this show. I guess it felt the same as other years, with perhaps a little bit more of a star-studded presence. And we'll get into that in a little bit, which I think you know what I'm talking about. But it felt very much the same. For those of us that like to peel back the layers a little bit, there's a lot to be seen. There's a lot to be exposed at E3. So one of those things is Google Stadia. As we know about Google, they're always ahead of the curve, right? They have all sorts of Google projects. There's so many, if you dig deeper into some other developer activity to see what's going on there, there's a lot of activity. And what they're doing with Stadia, which is essentially enabling us to play games wherever the hell we want, not necessarily whenever, but wherever, assuming the bandwidth is there. I'm not going to go over details on Stadia, but I think that Google did a pretty good job selling it at the show. They've got one big problem. Gamers haven't accepted Google yet. And what does that mean? That means that gamers, like any other type of consumer, are a fickle bunch. People like their brands. They like their experiences. They like going to that same coffee shop every day. If you're thinking of coffee, or if you're thinking of another comparison to think of in the sense of gaming. Xbox gamers love their Xbox. PS4 gamers love their PS4. PC gamers love their PCs, as we know. My point here is that Google has a hell of a hill to climb. But the thought of playing a bleeding-edge AAA title on a really crappy laptop makes me wonder what the future is of my gaming rig sitting next to me right now. Google's big push around Stadia is that it's not all about the box, meaning it's not all about the hardware sitting next to you. That's fair, but I would say it kind of is. I would say that we're still in that world of gaming and media consumption. It is all about the hardware that we have on hand. There may be a day soon that it's not, and maybe it'll be next year and I'll, you know, eat my words. But when Phil Harrison got up, who's the lead on this project from Google, saying that not having a legacy in hardware is an advantage, I almost fell out of my chair, but I was standing regardless. I thought it was ridiculous, a ridiculous comment. Not having a legacy in hardware is a huge disadvantage because of everything I just said. Hardware is how we experience games now. It's how we identify ourselves as a gamer. It's, as PC gamers, it's definitely how we identify ourselves. If you look at Reddit, go to a Micro Center, go to a Best Buy, they're catching on slowly. But the way that we identify ourselves is the hardware we keep. They want to change the core business model of the video game industry, which is going to take a lot of time, lots of time, lots of time. I don't know how that's going to end up. So there's a bit of a versus here. Google versus Microsoft. This has been a thing. This is always a thing, it feels like. Google decided to position themselves as a replacement for hardware. Thinking of hardware, the box sitting next to you, as the past, which it will be at some point, but it's not right now. Microsoft chose to position their xCloud, they're calling it. So xCloud is their version of Stadia, a little bit differently. Instead of a console replacement, they're looking at it as a way to bring their games, or for us to bring our games, on the go. So if you want to be home, you play on your Xbox. And if you want to be away, you play using your phone or whatever device you want to use. As we see the greater bandwidth coming out for mobile phones, we have it now, but it's going to even get even better soon. We'll see this become much more viable. Not even to mention the next gen of consoles are looking super intense and awesome. The power behind these consoles, especially Xbox and PS5, so whatever the Xbox Scarlet ends up being and PS5, whatever that ends up being. So it's not about the power, it's about the portability. And both Google and Microsoft think they can solve that. And from what I was seeing, from what I was reading, the experiences on both are pretty much equal. If the experience is equal, what's it going to end up being? It's going to end up being, who are you loyal to? Who do you feel more comfortable with? Who's given you the joy, the stability of gaming? Well, that's Microsoft, that's Sony, that's Nintendo. Google? Google doesn't have a play here yet. They have a play, but they haven't earned it yet. Gamers haven't accepted Google yet. Simple as that. prove me wrong, I guess. I think it just hit me that everything I'm excited about coming out of E3, except for one game, all is coming out from Ubisoft. The one game that I'm excited about that isn't coming out from Ubisoft is Jedi Fallen Order, and that was talked about from EA on this past Saturday. That looks awesome, but I'm not going to get into that. I want to talk a little bit about Microsoft and Bethesda and about how they approach their sessions. In terms of Microsoft, I thought it was interesting the selection of games that they brought into the mix. Of course, they touched on The Outer Worlds, which is that sort of Fallout-ish type game that's coming in the fall. They also touched on a new Minecraft game, you know, your classic, you know, but it's this 2.5D, I think it was, a Minecraft-like game. It looked Diablo-ish. It was four-player co-op, looter, called Minecraft Dungeons. That's coming spring 2020. I thought that was interesting. And then Phil Spencer comes out, the head of Xbox. Man, he got like huge standing up. People love him. And this is what I'm talking about before about the Google thing. Phil Harrison didn't get a standing O, and people accepted him. But it was like, all right, we know this guy. Great. But Phil Spencer comes out and he's a rock star. And of course, he backs it up a little more Jedi Fallen Order. And then he tees up some Blair Witch game, which looks scary as hell. All I know is that it ended with a guy or woman standing in a corner, and I can't stand that. And I immediately turned my head because I'm a wuss. But what made everything better after that was the man himself, Keanu Reeves, walking out on stage, talking about Cyberpunk 2077. He's some kind of mystery character in it, at least his likeness is some kind of mystery character. But it confirmed a April 16th, 2020 release, and then Keanu magically disappeared. After that, Phil Spencer, or I think it was actually somebody else that came out, spoke about the Xbox Game Pass for PC, which is in beta now. And that is $1 for the first month, and then it goes up to $4.99, I think, for following months. 100 titles are planned. I took a look. I subscribed. There's a lot. I'm really actually pleasantly surprised. There's a bunch of games I saw. I was like, wow, I wanted to play these. So for $1 for the first month, you can't go wrong. I'm trying it. They also have the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, which is $14.99 per month, which is a pretty decent deal. I asked my friend Rob Lashley, as you all might know him from Twitter, Graculin. He mentioned that he thinks it's a good deal, and I kind of go by him. He's my litmus test for many of these things, in that it includes an Xbox Live Gold Pass, a subscription, Xbox and PC Game Pass for just $14.99 a month. So that's a lot. A lot of value right there, right? In a world where we are now being absolutely pummeled with monthly subscriptions by, it seems, every publisher. But Microsoft came back and talked a bit about Project Scarlet. This is the new Xbox console. Everyone knows about this at this point. It's going to be a beast. 8K graphics. 8K? Jesus. SSD storage, ray tracing, plenty of memory, 120 frames per second. That's
nice.
120 is nice. That's where you want to be. That's the sweet spot. Good job, Microsoft. The only thing is that it's not going to happen in all games. I would say we'd expect consistent 60 frames per second. 120 will be a stretch. There will be visual fidelity to give up, most likely, I'm thinking, for that. But who knows? Maybe I'll be proven wrong. But it looks great. That's where we want to be. Forget this 30 frames per second. Even forget the 60 frames per second. We got to go higher. Bethesda had an interesting show. If you can cut around the cringiness and the audience scream guy, that wouldn't be quiet. I would say if you peel everything back, there's a few things that looked interesting, at least to me. I mean, everyone's different, right? But to me, I mean, there's Doom, of course. There's, you know, Fallout 76, Wolfenstein. The typical Bethesda stuff. There's a couple that kind of snuck in there. We got a couple teasers. One called Ghostwire Tokyo. Ghostwire Tokyo is I can't figure it out. It looks like it's some kind of adventure horror type game, or maybe just an adventure game. I can't really tell, but it's very dark, takes place in Tokyo, and has a really nice atmosphere. So this one immediately caught me. I don't know anything else about it. I don't know if you guys do, but I just love the atmosphere. It was creepy. it was made you want to explore. It had a little bit of a Cyberpunk 2077 feel, but a lot more mellow, a lot more chill, not as intense and spazzy. So I don't know what to say about that. It looked cool. The other one was Deathloop. Deathloop, it's about using time to bend time and kind of repeat. It's like time loops in a game, I guess you could say. The concept seems interesting. It hasn't really been done yet. I mean, there's a couple time loopy type games that I've mentioned. Outer Wilds. Remember Outer Wilds? If you haven't listened to my previous episode, listen to that. I was raving a little bit at the end of it about Outer Wilds. Not the Outer Worlds, but Outer Wilds. There's a bit of a time loop angle to that. So that's compelling. It's kind of interesting. We'll see where they go with this, but it's the folks that were that developed Dishonored are behind Deathloop. And that's really it for Bethesda, in my opinion. I mean, Fallout 76 is getting a new update. It's free this week of publishing this podcast. It's this episode, it's free. So you can go check it out if you've been on the fence about Fallout 76. I haven't played it yet, but I may just jump in for a little bit. And it's getting some Battle Royale mode too. Because why not, right? Really, why not? Just throw it in there, guys. And Elder Scrolls Blades, which I care nothing about, is coming to Switch, and I'm just going to end it at that. Ubisoft is the session I was waiting for when their session came around just, I think it was yesterday, Monday. I was excited to hear because I'm a big Ubisoft fan. I play a lot of their games. I enjoy The Division 2. So, and Ghost Recon. I didn't play any of the Watch Dogs, but those are the titles I was looking to find more about. I had a little bit of something that was curious about Watch Dogs, though, coming into E3 based on the previous episode. Some of the predictions or some of the previews, I think, we got around Watch Dogs, some of the leaks. It's called Watch Dogs Legion, we all know now, but the coolest thing about Legion, which I think must have been a hell of a thing to develop and to code in, was essentially giving each NPC a personality with strengths, weaknesses, backgrounds, ways of speaking, personalities. Things they're good at, things they're not good at, right? Their age is different. Their capabilities, physical capabilities, mental capabilities are all different. And that's every NPC from what I understand. It's got some nice cover-based shooting mechanics in it, it looked like. Nice melee, stealth mechanics. And I think I saw a few moves from John Wick. Well, John Wick series moves. So a few stage takedowns, a little pop in the head at the end. So the scoop on this, recruit and play as anyone. Every NPC is fully simulated. They have origin missions. They have a way of life that they operate on every day. They have personalities. They're each animated differently. There's a great example of a 70-year-old or so woman who was an ex-agent. And she's obviously a little bit more physically incapable now. She doesn't have a walker or anything, but she clearly was a little limpy and slow. And they showed her going up to people and taking him down. All the animations were very calculated, but slow. It was really interesting the way that they were able to pull that off. So very cool stuff. I'm looking forward to this game. Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Our boy John Bernthal walked on stage with Bam Bam the dog. So he brought a dog on stage. He plays Cole D. Walker, which is an ex-Special Forces, essentially the leader of an ex-Special Forces team called the Wolves. He's a compelling character for this, right? Because we know him from The Punisher and, of course, from the Walking Dead series. So he's got this kind of intimidating angle to him and a little shady. We don't know if he's good or bad half the time, but hey, we know he's a bad guy in this one. He leads a bunch of ex-agents, ex-special forces against the Ghosts. Beta starts in September. I think it looks great. They've been kind of prepping up the social of this. They had a little cute thing the other day or yesterday where Cole D. Walker took over the Ubisoft account on Twitter. You know, whatever. It's great. I like it. Bring on the hype, right? And the Division 2, there's a little bit of Division 2 news in terms of the episodes. They have 3 episodes queued up over the next year. These are the sort of the big stages of release throughout the season pass. So we go back to New York City in episode 3. I didn't really care about episodes 1 or 2, but in early 2020, we go back to New York City to Brooklyn at the Statue of Liberty. And the side note around The Division is The Division film is now a Netflix production. I didn't think it was going to go into theaters. I'm happy Netflix picked it up. They acquired the rights to Ubisoft's motion pictures film adaptation based on The Division. So very exciting. Looking forward to it. Bring it. I don't know when it's coming, though. Sorry. I think it's 2020, if I'm not mistaken. That is your Level Break. If I missed anything, let me know. I didn't cover everything from E3. I just wanted to cover the things I wanted to talk about, you know, the things I found interesting. But if you found any of them interesting too, definitely send it over to me. Feedback, comments, and your own news and opinions can be sent to levelbreakshow@gmail.com. If you want to hear more, subscribe in your favorite podcast app. And until next time, everyone, keep leveling. See ya.